The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today.
It's like taking a light and putting a lampshade over it. It veils the brightness of the light. Well, when we see Christ come back again, the lampshade's going to be removed, and we'll see Jesus fully in his role of prophet, king, Messiah, Lord. And that ought to be a great comfort to us. That's what we long for.
Robert Jeffress focuses on the one who is revealed in the prophetic events of the end times.
Well, we're just beginning a meeting with friends, and that is you, my wife Betty, and me as your friend, and one of our favorite people, Dr. Robert Jeffress, First Baptist Dallas. And First Baptist Dallas was a famous church to me. I went and knelt when I was 18, and I'd never preached since God had called me to preach, but I knelt down at Dr. Truett's pulpit and Dr. Crystal's. I went in there at night. The building was open. And I was the only one in there, of course, surprised it was open. And I prayed. I said, God, please let me preach maybe someday in a church like this, because I'd never preached. And I remember I wept. And then I remember I stood in that pulpit and preached a lot. You and I have come together for a reason. And I think that even in these days, the last days, our last days, I'm in my 80s, and you haven't even reached your 70s. You're still just such a kid. Anyway, the thing is that Jesus must be revealed clearly in these days. And we can have the greatest in-gathering in the history of the world. And you've written a book here that I think that you could just take the chapter titles and go down. Jesus, the subject of prophecy, the Messiah. Jesus, the prophet, the Lamb, the conqueror, the King. Jesus the judge, Jesus the Lord, Jesus our friend. Don't you miss that. Would you just like to touch on some of those chapters?
Well, for those who may have missed the last program, this book, Jesus Revealed in the End Times, is something I've never done before. Now, I've preached for decades, written books, taught seminary classes on the book of Revelation and end time prophecies. I don't think you can understand the Bible if you don't understand the end times, because it's filled on every page of Scripture with the same message, Jesus is coming back again. But I've always approached the end times by looking at the events of the end times, the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming, millennium and all of this, which is all important. But really, Bible prophecy is not about just what is coming. It's who is coming. In the end, it's all about Him. You look in the book of Revelation, it's titled The Revelation, literally the unveiling of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
It's about who Jesus is. And you know, I have discovered in writing this book, I didn't know this, I should have known it, but Jesus is the most portrayed human character in literature, in movies, in paintings, anywhere. He is the most portrayed person. And yet, all of the portrayals just about of Jesus are of His first coming, the baby in the manger, kneeling by the rock of Gethsemane, hanging on a cross. Very few pictures are of Jesus as He really is at His second coming. You know, contrary to people's thought, Jesus wasn't this little wimpy rabbi who went around the countryside saying nice things to people. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in His first coming, many of His attributes weren't done away with. They were hidden. They were veiled. He voluntarily hid some of His attributes. When His disciples said, Lord, when are You coming? When will the Son of Man come? He said, no man knows, including the Son of Man. Only God the Father knows. That's puzzled me. But Jesus had His omniscience veiled temporarily. It's like taking a light and putting a lampshade over it. it veils the brightness of the light. Well, when we see Christ come back again, the lampshade's going to be removed, and we'll see Jesus fully in His role of prophet, king, Messiah, Lord. And that ought to be a great comfort to us. That's what we long for, not just events, but we long for the return of Jesus. As the writer of Revelation says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly." And that's what this book is about, Jesus revealed in the end times, about what we can look forward to when Christ comes back again. I've got to say one thing, James. You made me think about this when you said about our time on earth being limited. Years ago, when I first started working with Fox News, one of my earliest friends there was the late Alan Combs. He was the resident liberal at Fox News. He was Jewish.
Sure.
And he and I became great friends early on. Yeah. And he would have me on his show all the times, a lot of times to rib me a little bit about my faith, but he always gave me the chance to preach the gospel. And one night we were sitting there in the New York studio and he said, "Pastor, do you believe you're going to be alive to see Jesus come back again?" I said, "Well, Alan, I don't know, but it really doesn't make any difference." He said, "What do you mean it doesn't make any difference?" I said, "Well, I'm 55 years old." I was at the time. I said, "I'm 55 years old, and I know in the next 30 or 40 years, one of two things is happening. Either He's coming or I'm going, but the end is close for me, and it's close for you as well. And the most important thing is to be ready."
Well, you go through that when you're talking about all the different aspects. I'd like for you to take, I'm going to glance at a couple of these here and just ask you to maybe expound on them, because I think people would be curious about them. You know, you talk about Him being the prophet and the lamb. You talk about Him being the conqueror and the king. Would you touch on some of those four right there?
Yeah. Well, first of all, take Jesus the prophet. You know, it's interesting. Jesus was able to accurately foretell things about His own life and ministry, including that He would be crucified, He'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He made all of those predictions. Every prediction Jesus made came true at His first coming. And you know, the chances of any one man in history fulfilling those prophecies, the chances are infinitesimal. In fact, somebody said for one man in history randomly to fulfill 8 of those prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 162nd power. That's a 10 with 162 zeros behind it. One chance in that. Let me tell you in the audience what that would be like. Let's just say that you lived someplace else, James, and I invited you to come to Texas. And I said, "Now, James, I want to take you on a tour of Texas. But before that, we're going to fill up the state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep." And so we filled the entire state with silver dollars 2 feet deep. And I took one of those silver dollars and I put a black X on it, threw it in the pile, mixed it up, and you and I started walking. We went from Amarillo to Brownsville. We went from El Paso to Shreveport. And randomly, I said, "James, pick up one of those silver dollars. The chance that it would be the one with the X on it is 1 in 10 to the 162nd power." The same chances that Jesus could have accidentally fulfilled all of those prophecies about His life. Now, here's the point. If Jesus was correct in all of the prophecies He made about His first coming, can't we trust Him to fulfill the prophecies He's made about His second coming? In Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus told us exactly what's going to happen. Not when it's going to happen, but He told us. He told us He's coming back again. How do I know He's going to prepare a place for us and that He'll come again and take us unto Himself? He promised it. That promise of His second coming is just as sure as the Word of God is. And that's why we can bank on everything Jesus said as being true.
When He says, when the Bible says He's the conqueror and He's the king, how do you expound on those?
Well, Jesus, we're going to see Him as conqueror when He comes. At the Battle of Armageddon, He's going to defeat all of His foes, and His foes are our foes. He's going to destroy them once and forever. And people miss the coming of Christ the first time. The reason the Jews missed out on Jesus is that they thought Jesus would be that conquering king at his first coming. They wanted to be delivered from the oppression of the Roman government. And when he didn't deliver, as they thought he should, they rejected him. Jesus will conquer, but that wasn't his purpose in his first coming. It was to be the suffering Savior, the one who would take care of our sin problem. But then when he comes back again, he's going to conquer and defeat all evil in the world. You know, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And we may be talking to some people right now who are honestly disappointed in Jesus. They don't think he's come through as they think he should. They're still sick. They're still suffering the breakup of a marriage. They still feel isolated. They may be financially impoverished. And you may be thinking, what good is Jesus if he doesn't take care of these problems? Well, the answer to that is just wait. Jesus is coming back again, and he will dispense and dispose of evil forever and ever.
When you say Jesus in the last chapters, you talk about Jesus as the King and Jesus as the Lord. Expound on those just a little bit.
Well, Jesus as King, you know, the Jews wanted not only somebody who would conquer Rome, but somebody who would fulfill the Davidic promise that he would sit on the throne of David and rule the world in perfect righteousness. Isaiah looked forward to that time when there would be a renovated earth and there wouldn't be death and destruction and so forth. Well, that time is coming. It's the millennium. It's the thousand-year reign of Christ. That's not a subject for us to argue about and debate. It's a great truth that God's going to keep his promise to Israel. And that's why it's so important that we have the right attitude toward Israel. Look, the Jews in Israel need Jesus Christ just as much as we do. You don't go to heaven for being a Jew, but God made a promise to believing Jews that they're going to inhabit that land that they're having a war over right now. One day it's going to belong to them, not up there someplace, but right here in Jerusalem. That is their land. And when Jesus comes back again, we're going to see him fulfilling all of his promises to Israel. Now, people naturally say, well, I'm not a Jew. What difference does that make to me? Look, if Jesus doesn't keep his promise to Israel, how do I know he'll keep his promises to me? He's promised to save me forever. What if I get to heaven? He said, you know, I told you about that grace stuff. You're saved by grace and not by works, but I changed my mind. We're going to be on the works system right now. Boy, I'm in a lot of trouble, and so are you and you and everyone. God is going to keep his promise to Israel, and he's going to keep his promise to us.
You know, I find these last two chapters, Jesus the Lord, so we can talk about Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you may want to hit that for a moment, but I'm just interested in this last one. Jesus, our friend.
Yeah.
Kind of wondering why it's here when we're talking about these last days.
Because it's the role of Jesus that will last throughout eternity. I mean, think about what it would be to have a friend who knew everything about you and still loved you and accepted you. And think about a friend who would always return your calls, a friend who would always be there when you needed him most. We've got that friend in Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans in this world. He's not going to abandon us to go through eternity by ourselves. He promises to be our friend. You know, I think about Joseph Scrivens. He lived in Ireland a century ago, and he had a great heartbreak that caused him to flee Ireland and come to the United States. He felt isolated, alone, and he got word that his mother was ill and near death. And he wrote her a poem. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And we will understand Jesus as our eternal friend when he comes again. He is a friend who will never forsake us nor leave us.
You know, just looking at you and thinking about how much I love you, I realize the love that God poured on me through her. And you know whose love that is? That's His.
That's right.
And it really is in my heart.
Yeah.
And I've taken that love all over the world, but I can only take it all over the world, just like you could only have a sanctuary and build even the activities buildings and for your young people and all the different things you're doing. I told you when you were with me last time, you're living kingdom life right here. Your church is expressing kingdom life in downtown Dallas. You're doing the impossible in Him. Well, you know, I find that God would give me so much love to pick you up and lift you up if I could out of any pit to get you to the one who lifts us out of any pit. He loves us that much. Don't you think it's wonderful that God can put that kind of love in us?
Yeah.
And don't you think He would like for all of us to receive that love and release it? Does that make any sense?
Well, it makes a lot of sense. And I think it's what your ministry's been about for the last 40 years, because you had a dramatic change in your life. Yeah. We all know about it. And it's been very evident. It's been proven by the love that you have for people, regardless of their theology, however right or wrong. And theology is important, but anybody who believes in Christ, you welcome and you've worked with. And I think you've set a great example for all of us. And, you know, I just feel led to say something to our audience today, talking about Jesus revealed in the end times. One of the things we didn't talk about, He's going to be revealed as judge. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't understand that about Jesus. Right now, He offers to be our friend. He offers to be our Savior if we'll trust in Him. You can either meet Him in this life as your Savior, or one day you're going to meet Him as your judge. God, Jesus, is a holy God, and He requires absolute perfection. None of us can meet that standard, and that's why He came the first time, to pay the price for our sins. But next time He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. And if our name isn't written in that Lamb's Book of Life in this world, we're going to face an eternal separation from God. And my plea to every one of you watching right now is make sure you know Christ as your Savior now. Because once you've died or once He returns, it's too late.
We've talked about His love in us, the love that came from Him through her, the love that we pour out all over the world to people who are suffering. Jesus called the least of these the overlooked. Those who are hungry and thirsty, starving, dying in prison, trampled down. He said, when you reach out to them, you reach me. You minister to me, you bless me, and you are my sheep. Would you right now just ask Him to become your Savior? Would you ask Him to give you life, His life, to fill you with His love and flow that love through you? Father, I pray for everyone listening that right where they are, they would open their life to your love, to the salvation you freely offer, that you paid for. Thank you, Jesus. Ask Him to come into your life. Would you call that number on the screen and just say, I gave my life to Jesus? We'll gladly send you a study guide to help you get started in your new life. And then to all of you who are watching, right now we're in our mission feeding program. We drill water wells. We feed the hungry. We set captives free that have been sexually trafficked. We help people all over the world because of you. We've got 350,000 young people, children, and families we found right now that are starving. We're asking you now to make a gift to help us give them life. Would you please, as you watch this prayerfully, ask God to lead you in what to give, and then you make the very best gift you can, knowing that you're giving the greatest gift, His life and His love. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Here in our community, our problem is hunger. It rains sometimes, but not enough to grow food. All the children are suffering because their parents are worried about food. My prayer is to ask Jesus to look after us because we are suffering so much. I believe that when I am praying, Jesus responds in that moment. Yes, we are human beings. We were made by God, and we need to ask Him for help.
Father, we ask that You would provide rain for the ground, Lord, provide crops for the community, provide a school for the children.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You know, we were amazed that with just a little help, you'd see him beginning to find joy and hope. And then when you saw everything change, Betty and they would build a church, we could encourage the establishment of a school. We began feeding in the schools. We saw the people so transformed that when we would go to see them, we noticed that they would be crying when we left and they were singing when we came. And I asked the pastor, why are they crying? And he said, well, because when you came years ago and we were starving and they were all dying, and you gave food, it changed everything, as you can see. And now today you see the change, and you've come to look and see and rejoice, but they think you're never going to come back, and you're still their source of feeding and being able to have a stable life in the schools. And they're afraid now because they're so happy you're not coming back, and that's why they're crying. Boy, that tore me up, Betty. I said, no, we're going to come back. We're not raising you up to then go off and leave you. We're going to continue to help you so that you can grow to help others. And that is what we do. And Betty, I'm praying right now because God knows those children that need food, those families that are starving and hurting, you're the miracle that they long for and pray for. And we know it works. We know that love never fails. I'm praying we'll see the greatest response perhaps we've ever seen with people giving, whether it's $30, $50, or $100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 children, or give $1,000 to feed 100. Just please do all you can to help us give life to those precious people.
You know, James, I agree with you. And to just watch and listen to that mother, the devastation they feel. Some of them have lost 10 children. Some of them have lost all the children that they have. But you know what blessed me so much was the faith, their faith in God, their faith in Jesus, and knowing in this time of wilderness in their lives, they have God to turn to. So they trust God to send the help that they need. And I believe that's our part as His children, to be a part of relieving them of the pain that they go through seeing their children die because they don't have any food. It's just not right. I hope you will join with us, and let's continue being a blessing as she was a blessing to me by expressing her love and her faith in Jesus.
Well, I know when we came back after seeing the need, and we really didn't know how our viewers would respond, but I did say to Betty, Betty, if they don't help, I don't know if I can live and bear the load, because I'd seen the pain, but I also knew what love did to change it all, and you are expressing that love all over the world. We need your help right now. Please, go get your bank card, use it like a check. If you get a check, please, please make it out to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. If you use a bank card, use it like a check and make the best gift you can because you're giving life. You're giving life to people who thought no one would ever notice, but you did. And I know you're going to help. And I say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation to help you live your best life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request your health and wellness bundle. This 3-book set includes natural remedies as well as essential fasting, a simple eating strategy to accelerate weight loss, crush cravings, and reverse aging, and the probiotic diet that gives effective strategies to improve digestion, boost brain health, and supercharge your immune system. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hi, I'm Jordan Rubin, and for over 2 decades, my wife Nikki and I have been supporting the Ministries of Life. With any gift to Mission Feeding, you will transform the lives of 350,000 children in Africa by giving them nutritious food and a hope for the future. With your gift, you'll receive a powerful wellness bundle, which can bring the power of health and nutrition into your own home. Transform the lives of thousands and your own family. Do it today.
You know, I just feel in my heart that you're going to make a great gift. And that gift of life to somebody be the greatest they could imagine, because we're going to tell them about Jesus. If you'd like to have Jesus revealed in the end times, Dr. Jeffers, just ask for it. Thank you for helping us. And Dr. Jeffers, you just call anytime you want to share anything God put on your heart, and just know that we're going to stay close as long as we're breathing, and we're going to be together forever.
Amen. Thank you both. It's always great to be with you.
And it's great to be with you too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching. It's great to be with you. Thanks for helping us share life. We really do appreciate it.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Call now or go online to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time.
You can chart a purposeful path, creating a legacy of love and hope for future generations. Visit Life Planning Services today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.